the songs and for the prayer and for the scripture reading. And now, Lord, I pray that you help me to be faithful to your word and that you will help my brothers and sisters as they listen to try to recall those verses that they remember, to be able to examine what I'm saying to see if it's true. And that, Lord, that you will please grant all of us, including myself, to hold fast to what is true and not to what is not true. And that you please use the truth of your word today, especially when it comes to money, to reshape the way we think, the way we behave, and the way we act. And so that, like the song said, the world will be able to see that we are different. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. So we are currently going through a series, Be Different or Different. It's based on the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 5, from Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7. And the previous times we saw, sometime last year, we saw the blessed or the different life. And then we saw in chapter 5, verse 1 to 12. And then we saw that the Lord Jesus said, by being different or by being like he described in the blessed life, we will be witnesses. Will be witnesses of him, right? And then after that, we then saw that the different life is according to the law. So it's not against the law, right? So the different life is exactly according to the law. So Jesus did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And he gave us some examples. Some brothers preached from that. We saw examples on anger. We saw examples on swearing, on lust, on retaliation. So we saw the different life is according to the law. It's not against the law. And then after that, we then saw also the second thing that we saw is that the different life is also above the Pharisees' explanation of the law and the Pharisees' righteousness. And we saw that the few previous weeks, Pastor Shannon took us through what self-righteousness for selfish motives and exaltation of self looks like. And we saw three examples. We saw prayer, we saw giving, and we saw fasting. And so today, the Lord Jesus will then speak about how the different life is when it comes to money. Yeah, so today we will look at the passage that the brothers and sisters read from chapter 6, verse 19 to verse 24. And we'll try to answer the question, how does the different life relate to money? And we'll try to answer that by looking at the question, where is your treasure? So before we begin, maybe we want to ask the question, as a whole, what does the Bible have to say about money? Is money evil in the Bible? Is money the devil's instrument? Is money the devil himself? What does the Bible have to say about money? And the first thing we want to see is just remember that money and wealth is from God. So if you recall the book of Haggai in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel returned from exile, they were trying to rebuild the temple. And in doing that, the temple they were trying to rebuild looked nothing like the old temple under Solomon. So they were kind of discouraged and they were kind of heartbroken. And so the Lord sent the prophet Haggai to the leaders. Zerubbabel was a leader at the time. And so this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel through Haggai. The Lord said, I will shake the nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come into the temple. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. So there God is saying that money, silver, gold belongs to him. So money is not necessarily evil. It belongs to God. Another thing we should also remember is that the word also gives us of some example, lots of examples. We'll see more details of them, of ways in which we can use money for good, whether it's giving to the needy, giving to the poor, good works. We'll come back to this later. So money is not necessarily evil, but however, money is very dangerous. Money is very dangerous, depending on how you put your heart on it or not. Depending on the state of your heart, money can be very dangerous. And so in this passage, Jesus gives us a warning. He gives us a set of warnings to guide us as to how we should be when it comes to money in our lives. So we'll just read the passage again. So in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24, the Lord Jesus says, "Do not lay up treasures for yourselves on earth, where moth and rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." So in this passage, we have Jesus gives something he doesn't want us to do. By the word "do not," we can see it's a command. And he gives us things he wants us to do, but lay up. And then he then gives us a reason in verse 21 with the word "for." For is usually because. He explains why he doesn't want that. And then he gives an illustration. And the illustration speaks about the eye. And then he makes a concluding statement that no one can serve two masters. So we will look at each of those points in more details now. But just before we look at that, treasures is anything we value, anything we like, anything we that is precious to us, things we like to store away. So the word treasure there, it refers to abroad, it's not only money, but wealth in general. And also the word money is the word mammonas, and it can also be translated for wealth, just in general. So not just currency, not just gold, not just silver, but anything precious will fit into those two words. So now we want to look at those four things in details. Okay, do not lay up your treasures on earth. We also want to look at lay up your treasures in heaven. And then we want to look at the reasons Jesus gives for why he wants us to do those. And then we also want to look at the illustration he gives about the eye. And then we want to conclude. So first, do not lay up your treasures on earth. Jesus says, do not lay up your treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. So Jesus is clearly giving a command here. It's not a suggestion. He's commanding his disciples or his listeners not to lay up for themselves treasures on earth. The word "lay up" can be translated "store up" or "treasure up." It has to do with accumulating, with amassing, with saving, with like stockpiling, a bit like when you put coins on each other. Like Jesus is saying, don't do that. Don't stockpile treasures for yourself on earth. And the word "earth" there, I think it has a huge significance to the way you look at this verse, because of also the illustration of Jesus. So here Jesus is clearly against us amassing money for ourselves down here in this world. He's clearly against storing up treasures, whether it's in the bank or whether it's at home or whether it's wherever your treasures are. Jesus says, do not do that. It's a command. And one quick simple reason he says that is, on earth, treasures are not safe. In those days, treasures were things like garments. So usually to know rich people, you look at their dressing, you look at the kind of clothes they wear. And also treasures in those days were gold. They didn't have banking, right? That's why, for example, in Matthew 13, Jesus says, a man found a treasure in the field. Because usually people would dig the ground to store their gold there because there was no banks. And also treasures in those days were kind of like food. The rich will usually build barns where they keep their food and store. And Jesus said, well, if you store your treasures, no matter how deep you dig, thieves will break in. Thieves were called money diggers, like gold diggers, because they will dig deep to get the money. No matter where you hide, try to hide your treasures from, wherever you try to hide your treasures, thieves can get there. And for your clothes, moth will eat them up. And for your food that you're trying to store, it will be eaten whether by animals or insects. So Jesus is saying, don't do that. You're just setting up a cause of worry for yourself. So maybe we look at an example of what laying up treasures for ourselves on earth look like. So we are going to look at an example from the book of Luke, chapter 12, verse 13 to 21. So someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who made me judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, Jesus said to the crowd, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and I will store my grain and my goods there. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many, many, many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. Have fun.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And the things you have prepared, the things you have laid up, the money you have been stockpiling, the grains you are trying to build larger barns for, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasures for himself." The same statement. Jesus said, do not lay up treasures for yourself. And here we have, so is the one who lays up treasures for himself. The same phrase. So here is a classical example of somebody who laid up treasures for himself. And we can see his statement, basically, what is he going to do with all the money he laid? He's going to eat, he's going to relax, he's going to have fun, he's going to drink and be merry. That's what Jesus is saying you shouldn't do. Don't store your money for your retirement so that you can buy big boats and have all the fun you can have. Jesus says, don't do that. Don't lay your money for selfish motives. Don't amass for yourself. This man was rich towards himself, but he was poor towards God. So next we want to look at, Jesus then turns and says, but lay up treasures for yourself in heaven. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 20, Jesus says, but lay up treasures for yourselves in heaven, where neither moth nor rot destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So heaven is safe. For one, we know there's no thief there. There's no sin in heaven, so there will be no thief there. So storing your money in heaven, or storing your treasures, your wealth in heaven, avoids you the trouble of stressing all the time, oh, what's going on with my money? What's the economic situation around now? What's up? And not only does it have to do with where you store your money, but also the things you do with your money. How do you store treasures in heaven? Because stores treasures in heaven, how do I do that? On earth, it's practical. I store it in the bank. I keep it for my retirement. I keep it for myself. I buy fancy cars. It's easy to know how to store treasures on earth. But in heaven, how do I do that? Do I take a jet and go up to the sky and store my money on the moon? Is that what Jesus is talking about? So it's important to ask the question, how does it look like? And we will try and see how it looks like with three examples. First one, giving to the needy. So we have two passages there, but we'll just read one. We'll read the passage from Matthew chapter 19, verse 21. Jesus said to the, you remember in that story, there's a young ruler. It's a rich guy. He comes to Jesus and tells him, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus tells him, well, you know the commandments. Keep the commandments. He says to Jesus, I've kept all of them. So Jesus tries to show him that there's a problem with the way he understands the commandment. And so Jesus says to him, if you will be perfect, or if you want to inherit eternal life, like you said, go sell all you possess, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. So the same word, treasures in heaven. So how do I keep my treasures in heaven? First, give to the poor. Of course, somebody will say this doesn't apply to all of us, selling all you have, but the point still stands. One way you store your treasures in heaven is by giving to the poor, is by caring for the needy. Another way you can store your treasures in heaven is by being rich in good works. So we know the famous passage of Paul in 1 Timothy, where he says the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't end there. Later on in the passage, Paul tells Timothy what to tell the rich. Because, like we saw in the beginning, money is not necessarily evil, right? Money is from God. So there are Christians who are rich. There are Christians who are billionaires. So what should those Christians do? What should their life look like? And Paul tells Timothy what their life should look like. So Paul tells Timothy, as for the rich in this present age, so in this world, on this earth, charge those rich not to be proud, not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but to set their hopes on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Like we saw, money is from God. So they are not to be proud, but they are to hope in God and not in money. But then it says also, they are to do good. They are to be rich in good works, to be generous, to be ready to share. Thus, storing up treasures for themselves, the same phrase, storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. So how do you store up treasures for yourself for the future? How do you lay up treasures for yourself in heaven? One, do good. Be rich in good works. Be generous and be ready to share. That doesn't mean you shouldn't invest. Investing is wise. We know from the Proverbs, it's good to invest, but your heart, what is your attitude with your money? Are you stingy? Are you selfish? Do you do like the man we saw in Luke? You store it all up for your retirements. People close to you in your own family are suffering. They are poor, they are in trouble, but no, you are focusing on your boat that you want to have. Jesus is against that. One other way, or one last example we will see about how to store money, how to store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. It's from Luke. This is a very good passage. In Luke chapter 6, so Jesus tells the parable of the shrewd manager, shrewd, like a cunning manager. And the conclusion of that passage, Jesus says, I'm not sure if you can see the colors, but let me just read it. Jesus says in that passage, and I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous wealth, so that when it fails, they may receive you into eternal dwellings. So in that passage, the shrewd manager kind of used the money of his master to make friends for himself, so that when his master finally fired him, those friends can take care of him. And so Jesus said, well, the children of this age are wiser than the children of the age to come. So the children of this world are wiser than the children of heaven. And so he gives this advice to the children of heaven. Make friends for yourself by means of unrighteous wealth. It doesn't mean that money is evil, but it just means that money in and of itself has no righteousness. Money is just something. It can be used for good or for evil. So he says, make friends for yourself with the wealth God gave you, so that when that wealth fails, those friends can receive you into eternal dwellings. The only way they can receive you into eternal dwellings is if they're in heaven. So one way we can store up money for ourselves is by using our money to promote the gospel. And I think Pastor Shannon has been reading a biography of a guy called William Borden. I'm not sure if the name is exactly correct. But that guy is an example of somebody who used his money to promote the gospel. Yeah. So those were three examples of how it looks like to store up money or to store up our treasures in heaven. So the question we now want to ask is, why does Jesus ask us not to store up treasures on earth, but rather to store up treasures in heaven? Why? What's the problem with storing up our treasures here? What is the root, like, what is he addressing? What's the issue? So, and for that we go to verse 21. It has a for. So Jesus says for. So he's kind of giving you the reason why. So the reason why Jesus doesn't want us to store up our treasures on earth is that where your treasure is, there will be your heart. So just like since the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is after your heart. He's not necessarily after your money. But the fact is, if your heart is with Jesus, your money will follow. Like you have the example of Zacchaeus, for example. He was a thief. He was a greedy guy. He was the chief tax collector. But as soon as he met Jesus and understood what Jesus came to do, he decided to give almost everything to the poor and to those he stole from. So the problem here is your heart. If your heart is right, the way you handle your money will show it. If your heart is wrong, the way you handle your money will also show it. What you do with your money and with your wealth shows what you treasure. Yeah, so that's what is Jesus' concern? Your heart. And now we want to ask a series of questions. Well, can we not do both? Can we not try to focus on God and money at the same time? Can't we manage, balance both? I've heard some Christians say, well, I love money, but just a little. Can we do that? Like, what's the problem with that? What's the problem with loving money? What's the problem with putting our hearts on money? And Jesus gives us a story to illustrate that problem, the problem with that. So in chapter Matthew 6, verse 22 to 23, so Jesus uses the example of the evil eye. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad or evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? So in those days, in the old Jewish culture, they didn't have electricity, right? There's no electricity. Like, electricity was very recent. So in those days, they would have lamps in houses to light the house. And if the lamp is broken or if the lamp is covered with tar, like tar is the black coal, then there's no ways you will be able to see. The whole room will be dark. So Jesus said, in the same way, your eye is the lamp of your body. But if your eye is bad, of course, your whole body will be full of darkness. And we know in the Sermon on the Mount that in chapter 5, Jesus used light to refer to the way we live. So if your eye is bad, your body being full of darkness, the way you live will show that. So first we want to ask, what does it mean to have a bad eye? Or what does it mean to have an evil eye? And here we have three passages from the Old Testament and two from the Old, one from the New. So in Matthew in chapter 20, you have the master, he owns a field. He goes in the morning, hires some people, and he promises to pay them one denarii. He goes in the afternoon, hires some people, and promises to pay them one denarii, and goes just before closing time of work, and he also promises them to pay them one denarii. So at the end of the day, he pays them. Those who came very late, he gives them one. Those who came earlier, he gives them one. And then when he reaches to those who were hired first, they're kind of expecting more. But Jesus still, the master still gives them one. And so those people are angry. How come we came earlier and you're giving us one just like you gave to the ones who came late? What's the problem like? And so the master tells them, am I not allowed to do what I want with my money? Or do you begrudge? The word begrudge there is the same word for evil eye. So your eye being bad is begrudging somebody's generosity. You also have another passage in Deuteronomy 15:9 where basically God warns the Israelites because they had something on the seventh year where all debts were annulled. So he warns them that, take care, lest when the seventh year is closed, you have evil thoughts. Your eye look grudgingly on your poor brother, which means that usually you will loan money to the poor without expecting more money from them. But when the seventh year was near, they will tend to be like, no, I don't want to lend money to the poor because in the seventh year, they will basically not pay me back. So Jesus, God in the Old Testament, took care of that with this verse by telling them, when the seventh year is near, do not look grudgingly at your poor brother. Do not refuse to lend them. So the word grudging here is the same word for bad eye. And also you have Proverbs, which says a stingy man. So the word stingy there is also the same word for bad eye. So what's the problem with focusing on money? Basically, when you focus on money, your eye is bad. Your eye is bad. You will tend to begrudge people's generosity. You will tend to be stingy. You will tend to do all you can to get more and more and more. And basically, it will wreck your life. Paul says in 1 Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evils. And he goes on to say that it is by craving for money that some of them have left the faith. So money can cause you to depart from the faith. It can cause you to leave God. It is very dangerous to love money. And maybe we can look at a case example in the life of Judas. So why did Judas betray Jesus? In Luke chapter 22, verse 3 to 6, basically it says there in verse 5 that Judas betrayed Jesus for money. But we might ask the question, did he suddenly fall in love with money, or did it start much earlier? So we can turn to the book of John chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. So let me just read it quickly. So 6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, with whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So he gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining with him at the table. Mary therefore took a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with fragrance and perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, him who was about to betray him, said, "Why is this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put in it. So Judas's problem with money didn't start the night Jesus was betrayed. It was a long, long, long process. He was trying to serve both Jesus and money. And in the end, we know what happened to him. So that's the problem with focusing on money. Money will wreck your life. We all know people who, on their deathbed, were alone because their whole life they were chasing after money and they neglected their families. We all know people who, because of money, are willing to kill other human beings. We have gangs here. We have gangs in Africa. Like, the thirst for money will drive you crazy. And that's what Jesus is against. He said, don't do that. Why? First, because your focus will not be on God, but even worse still, it will take you away from God. So Jesus concludes in verse 24. He says, no one can serve two masters. You have to choose. Maybe some of us will think, oh no, I can do that. I can have two jobs. Actually, maybe you're currently doing that. But if you're saying that, it's because you do not understand the word serve. To serve a master, you were basically his slave. In those days, we had what we called slavery. So the slave was the property of his master. You served him 24 hours, 7 days a week, full time. There's no break for you. You are your master's property in those days. And if your master says you do something and you don't, you are in big trouble. So Jesus is here saying you cannot have two of those kind of masters. Worse still, when those masters are against each other. Because God and money, well, the God of money, Mammon, doesn't go in the same direction with God. God is asking you to be generous. Money asks you to be selfish. God is asking you to be righteous and hardworking. But money tells you you can cheat, you can lie, you can commit adultery in order to get more of it. You cannot serve both God and money. So we have seen today that, one, Jesus wants us to lay up our treasures in heaven and not on earth. We have seen the reason why, because he wants our focus to be on God. He's after our hearts. We have seen the danger we're trying to do opposite. Money will wreck our lives. We all have examples of people who were chasing after money with all they have, and now their lives are in ruin. And we have the conclusion of Jesus here. You cannot do both. You have to choose. Yeah, so for applications, some few applications, maybe some of us here, like we don't know all of our life situations, right? But maybe some of us here have been chasing after money and it has got you into trouble. Maybe your family is in a bad state because of that. And you're kind of tired. You're really tired of chasing after money. You're tired of running after it with all you have, of being a slave of money, and you just need help. Why don't you, maybe after the sermon, look, talk to Pastor Shannon, talk to the deacons, like, come to Jesus. He can forgive, he can change and mend the relationships that are broken because of that. And maybe another illustration for Christians here today, I will finish with this story. It's a story that was said by Pastor John MacArthur, and originally it's from a British pastor called Martin Lloyd-Jones. So there was a farmer at the somewhere in Britain, maybe. So that farmer, one day he came to his house. He was very, very happy, and he told his wife, "I have great news, my dear." And his wife said, "Okay, what's the news?" So he said, "Our calf," because farmers have calves, right? Like a cow. "Our cow gave birth, and there are two calves, two young cows. And one of them is white, one of them is brown." And so, she said, "Okay, so what do you think we should do with them?" He said, "No, I feel led that we should give one of them to God." And so she said, "Okay, which one? The brown one or the white one?" He said, "No, don't worry about that. We decide when the time comes." And so one day he comes back home, he's very sad, and he's like, he's just very sad. So his wife asks, "Okay, what happened, honey? Like, what happened? You were on the field and you look sad." And he said to her, "I have really bad news." And she said to him, "What news? What happened?" She said, "The cow we were going to give to God died." That's a very telling story, right? Like, how did he know that that cow which died was God's and not his? And that story kind of gives us an application as Christians. If you're a Christian today, a good question to go with at home is, which cow always dies in your life? Like when you have a choice of investing and you only have enough to invest in one venture, which one do you always choose? Which one always takes the priority in your life? Is it yourself? Or is it God? Is it always the Lord's cow which dies in your life? So let's pray. And like we said, if at the end you want to talk, and Pastor Shannon is there, the deacons are there. And yeah, let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for what we've heard. We all fail in some points. We all have flaws. We all have different things we love. It might not only be money. Like we saw, the principle is general. You want to be our God. You don't want us to have other masters to run after other things. So we just pray, Lord, please help us to be wise. Help us to be generous. Help us to use the wealth you gave us, not only for ourselves, but for our needy brothers and sisters, even here in the church, for those who are poor around us, and for the promotion of your gospel. Help our hearts, Lord. We know the heart is the problem. And we know that if you, our hearts are right, we will be more free, more willing, more open-handed to give. Lord, there's a saying that says we are all born with a closed fist. But we pray, oh Lord, that you please help us open our hands to be willing to share, to be willing to be generous, just like you were with us when you came down here to give your life for us. And all this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.